You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, let's go. Here we are on a Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida, and I pray that you are having a great day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We've got some exciting things that are going to be going on here in the very, very near future, and so we want to let you know about those on Saturday, March the 25th, so that will be a week from this Saturday. We will have inside our sanctuary, you don't have to worry if it's raining or any of that sort of stuff, we're going to be having a Be a Blessing yard sale event. That's going to be at the church, 165 North Grove Street, and there's going to be all sorts of things that are, I mean, if you can imagine it, inside Christian realms, let's put it that way. There are some things beyond Christian realms. There's not going to be any of that stuff there, I hope. If we find any of that, it'll end up in the dumpster. But, as far as things that you may have an interest in, a hobby of, or things like that, we are going to have all sorts of things that are available. It's going to begin at 8 o'clock of the morning, going to go until about noon. The reason that it ends then is we got to put that sanctuary back together in order to be ready to worship the Lord on Sunday morning. So we want to invite you out Saturday, March the 25th to Merritt Assembly of God. We exist to be a blessing. These are actions that put practical steps to those words. And so, we try to be a blessing to you through this radio program, but there may be some things that you have need of, and we may have some of those things that we're looking to sow into people's lives. So that's coming up then. I want to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes. Their phone number is 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. If you are looking to modernize or update your outdoor area, maybe you're looking to get your yard ready for grilling season, and I mean down here in Florida that's almost year round, and so if you are looking, so some of the things they've done for us have been trimming trees and landscaping, things of that variety. They have installed some paver stones in some areas at my house. They added a tank to our church to keep our building from getting stained. As far as the irrigation system goes, they've done landscaping, put down new sod, and I'm sure that there are a lot of other things that they do. I know that they have talked about artificial turf and things that maybe you haven't even thought of yet. They might have some great ideas that you don't even know about. So I want to encourage you, give Coastal Image Landscapes a call, 321-208-2281. They have two divisions, a lawn care division, and that's this phone number, and that gets you in touch with Dave. They also have the landscaping division. That will get you in touch with Dan, who I deal most of the time with, and have them come out, give you an estimate. I've had some people say, that They gave me a price I couldn't afford to pass up. And so they love Jesus and they're good at what they do. 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. We are going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In all honesty, this is dealing with one of those passages of scripture that people generally don't like to deal with, but I'm called to preach the whole counsel of God's word and to teach that. I don't shy away from it. If our point of study takes us there, then we're going to deal with those things. So the verse that has brought us to this passage is a verse from the New International Version, and it's 1 Corinthians 7:34, and it says, "And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit, but a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband." So we're dealing with that. I want to take you back to verse number 29 is where we're going to pick up the reading today. It says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away." So we're going to start here in verse number 29. And verse number 29 says, "The reason that I'm saying this to you guys is the time is short." The time is short. And so I was studying this passage and looked that up. It means that the time is compressed. You know, it's not as long as you might think it is. And you may be young and think that time is just something you've got an inexhaustible supply of. Time is really a segment that God has created. It has a beginning and it does have an end that he has placed inside of eternity. And man is created by God in the image of God to occupy during this season that we call time. So I was studying this passage and it describes this compressed time period as the time between the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as well as the return of Christ. So those are the things that Paul is writing to them about. And you have to realize that when Paul is dealing with the early church, he was dealing many times with people who have already been told like things like this. Well, the return of Christ has already happened and you missed it. They were also saying things like this. Well, you know, those who died before the return of Christ, they're just going to be left out. So Paul is addressing all sorts of teaching errors that were going on. The church was a fledgling organization, and the Holy Spirit was bringing revelation to people, but, you know, there were a lot of practical mistakes that people made along the way because of some of the errors of their judgment. I saw something that said training will be better than untrained any day of the week. So one of the projects that we have, if you listened anytime recently over the past year, you know that our Wednesday nights we are doing what we call Fire Bible Discipleship Training. It's kind of like Bible college in a very abbreviated or compressed form. That's a good word for us to use today that we do on Wednesday night. When I was at a Fire Bible launch event, and they've put the Fire Bible in, I don't remember exactly how many languages, but they're adding new languages all of the time. They were telling us about this one particular pastor that was a pastor because someone had come, they had preached a revival, lots of people got saved, and what would happen in many of these communities was the first person who got saved, they would be deemed the pastor, the evangelist would fold up their tents, they would go on and to the next location, and they would see more people get saved. But this person had no theological training, and as he was reading through the scriptures, he discovered a passage about the mark of the beast, and that people who do not take the mark of the beast, that they would not be able to buy or sell or trade. And he said, okay, so we've been warned about this, and so whenever the mark of the beast comes, in order for you not to starve to death, you need to take the mark of the beast. Well, that was spiritual error. He didn't read the part that talked about a little bit later than that, that there was going to be a plague that is launched upon people who participated in the mark of the beast. He didn't read about that, and so it wasn't that he was trying to lead them astray. It was just that he did not have any training. And so it's very important for you and I to understand the Word of God, because the time is short. So it is compressed. It is a time frame that we have been given in which we are to live intensely. So if you've listened, you know that I'm a bit of a sports fan. I've played many sports to whatever level they would let me play. And I've watched way too many sporting events. And one of the things that has always, kind of been something that I never understood was the way that people responded when they were down to an opponent by a significant portion. And many times people did not realize that even though they were only in the third quarter of a four-quarter game, they needed to live with some intensity, play with some intensity, because they had fallen behind. They no longer had the margin. They did not have the luxury of not being intense and managing their time to the best of their ability. You and I, we are to make the most out of every opportunity, and today is an opportunity for you to do just that. So it goes on and it says that there are some practical ways in which we are to focus our life, realizing that the time is short. The time is short. And so it says, so from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use the world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. So the fact that the time is short means that this, the focus, the aim, the goals of this present world, the form in which it exists, the things that are important in this world, all of those things are going to be passing away. There are lots of people that like to go around and try and tell people how important they are, how powerful they are. A lot of people like to go around and display what a celebrity they are. There is much that is made on a public spectacle of how wealthy people are. And Paul here is saying, because the time is short and everything that this world focuses on, if you remember, we just came through not too long ago, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything that is important in this world is not going to endure forever. The only things that are going to endure are the things that are done for Christ. And so he says, this living with intensity because of the compressed timeline that we are facing, it has some day-to-day adjustments that need to be made. And so here in these next passages of scripture, there's a lot of talking about marital relationships and interpersonal relationships. And I want you to know, it is not saying that you are not supposed to go and get married. That's not this. The scripture says that in the last days that there were going to be people and they were going to forbid people to get married. That's not what this scripture is saying at all. It says that we are supposed to live with our focus on heaven because the time is short. So if you're married, you focus on Jesus with intensity, knowing that you've also got some responsibilities due to the relationships that you have that you're not supposed to neglect. You've got those responsibilities, but you've also got to realize that you've got to focus on Jesus. It describes people who are weeping, and we cry because of some of the things that we have going on in this world, whether it's pain or whether it's loss, whether it's discomfort, whether it's striving to reach a personal best, and you've pushed yourself to the limit and you've achieved it. There are a lot of things that can cause us to have an emotional response. And he says, and so when you are going about your day-to-day operations, if there is weeping, live as if God has already solved that problem. So he also puts in there those who rejoice as though they do not rejoice, because the things that make people of this world happy, those things are not going to endure. The things that make us happy, jubilant and rejoicing in Christ, those things are going to endure forever. I put it this way. I'm a fan of the Oklahoma Sooners football team. Why they are leaving the Big 12, I have got no clue, other than just that it's a financial decision there, but they didn't ask me about it. It's not my problem. So I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers. Both of those teams have won either national championships or they have won the Super Bowl. Both of those teams have played in those championships, and sometimes they've won, sometimes they've lost. Both of those teams have made the playoffs and ended up losing in the playoffs, and sometimes they've been so bad they didn't make the playoffs at all. Not any of that has changed my life one single solitary bit. In fact, unless I had some reminders of when the last time one of those teams achieved the pinnacle of success, unless I had something concrete, I wouldn't even be able to tell you when it was. The reason there's a new season that begins almost the day after the old season ends. And this year, just like every other year, the day after the Kansas City Chiefs had won the Super Bowl, I was listening, and there was someone that was saying, "Well, they've won a couple now. I wonder if they could make it 3 out of 5 or however many years they were already talking the day after. I wonder if they can repeat next year." And just like this world always does, it shifts the goalpost. It shifts the target that you think is going to bring you satisfaction. And it's letting you know, no matter what you achieve, this world is always going to try and create in you some level of dissatisfaction to keep you fixated on something that's not going to have any eternal value. So, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You may be jubilant now, but there's another challenge that is going to come your way. The Bible describes that we are neither married nor given in marriage in heaven. That is a that is a relationship, a covenant relationship, which we are to treasure. But that is for this segment of time that we have. And it also talks about possessions. You know, the world tends to operate by this philosophy: he who dies with the most toys wins. The Christian says he who dies with the most toys is still dead. You either die with Jesus or you die without him. One is a future that you do not have words that can adequately express the greatness and the perfection that we are going to experience there. The other one is a misery that is beyond description. And so he says, we're not supposed to be fixated on the possessions, and those things that we do have, we're not supposed to misuse them. So Robert Morris describes, I believe it's in his book, The Blessed Life. I know I've heard him share the story a number of times in preaching about The Blessed Life, that he was in his community, a pastor friend of his came, and he was driving with this guy down the road, and he pointed out this really large house. And the visiting minister said, that's just horrible. He shouldn't be living in that large house. He should be selling that and using that money to further the kingdom of God. And Robert Morris said, and I got very angry with him. Maybe he didn't use the word very angry, but Robert Morris doesn't wither from sharing truth. And he said, you don't know that guy. That guy is one of the most generous givers. He's not living in that house as a status symbol. He's using that house to accrue wealth, and he uses that wealth to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. That's a proper use of the possessions that we have. So I'm not one that's into the comparison with the Joneses. I remember seeing a commercial years ago where a guy is riding a brand new lawnmower, and he's describing that he lives in this big, beautiful, gated community, and he belongs to the country club, and he's got the latest and the greatest of vehicles, and he's got all of the toys. And he said, and I'm in debt over my eyeballs. I need someone to help me. A friend of mine was, a friend of mine was recounting a conversation that he had with another person, and that person pointed out the vehicles that several people were driving, and that person said, "Now that's what success looks like." When he told me that story, I said, or that could be what debt looks like. That could be what bondage looks like. I'm not saying driving a brand new car is bondage, but what I am saying is there's a lot of people who are driving vehicles. They have amassed possessions that their finances cannot support, and therefore their ministry, their opportunity to take advantage of this compressed timeline is restricted to such an extent that they'd find themselves shackled financially, that hinders what they can do for the kingdom of God. I've got a person that I know, known him for 30 years, and he was telling me about a conversation that he had had with someone who is somewhat familiar with automobile financing and things like that. And this person had described to my friend that there's trillions and trillions of dollars in debt on cars that are going up and down the road. And so, again, I'm not condemning, owning a new car. We have one. We didn't go out and get one. We had to get a vehicle in 2022. It's first new car we had ever owned. It wasn't because we were trying to keep up with the Joneses. It was because it was a necessary tool, for my wife's, new mobility issue. She needed safety features that they didn't have available. And so we've driven cars that other people wouldn't drive before. And so it's nice to be able to get into a car and the air conditioning works and all of that sort of stuff. And I've got a car that the air conditioning works, and we've given a lot of cars away. And, that's, you know, our possessions, we look at them as tools. Verse number 31 concludes with this: for the form of this world is passing away. I've seen some cars. I had an Oldsmobile 442 convertible when I was in my teenage years, and it was a great car. It was a great car. I mean, it had all sorts of power in it. It was a convertible. It had air conditioning. Man, it was a nice car. I wish I had that car. It also had an 8-track player. Do you know what you don't need in a car in 2023? 8-track players. You know, there were people that were paying big bucks to have 8-track players in their car back then. And, when I had it, it was about 10 years old or 11 years old, something like that. And there were still 8-tracks around, but I'm telling you, so much of what this world focuses on is passing away. Even our life. If you're listening and you're in your 30s, you just blink about 3 times and you will find out what I've found, that decades can fly by in a hurry. You and I, we are here because God has chosen us and strategically placed us chronologically and geographically in Brevard County to make an impact for His kingdom. The time is short. From now on, let's live as if the form of this world is passing away, and the people in this world desperately need to hear Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on eternity, and it'll make all of the other things that we deal with strangely dim. God bless you. You have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.